important step associated with figuring out how to do a public partner relationship with critical infrastructure in the private sector. As I see the agreement, it looks like that they're getting around to, as we used to say in the government, exchanging hostages. folks within the DoD are actually going to be in the physical spaces of DHS and vice versa, and I think that's going to do a lot to solidify a lot of good work that the two departments have done over the past year, to, which have moved this ball forward.
And there's been a lot of a little bit of fighting for who's in control of this space, it seems, over the last, and it seems like some of that is being sorted out.
Yeah, I think it is, and it's a realization, I think, that the paradigms are shifting, the definitions are shifting, and the frames of reference need to shift. And it's just like nothing clearly lies in anybody's space, and so they got to figure out how to work together in order to bring some sense to it.
And there has been this sort of underlying debate, particularly over the summer, a lot of discussion about, okay, are we in a cyber war or are we not in a cyber war? And all this kind of begs the question a little bit, hold on, we have to protect our systems because we are so dependent on these systems.
No, we absolutely are. And it's not just our government. It's not just our organizations. It's American society, businesses are becoming increasingly dependent upon cyber and cyber capability. And so, again, we need to think through differently how we're going to work this. We need to come up with the right kind of policies and legislation and things like that actually work in the cyber world and not just in the physical world.
I know there's been the Senate and both Congress left town without ever taking action on any of the bills that were up there. And I think at one point there were, more than 40 bills that were at some place in the process.
Right.
It was almost hard to keep track of them all. Does that matter? It is the work that lawmakers are doing. Is it critical that they do something?
I think it is critical that they do something. First of all, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of professionals within our federal government that are working this and doing a great job. But they need some top cover of legislation. And so, you know, it's a degree of how much. And unfortunately, the way we are in a political environment, you need some sort of burning platform to move up in the stack to get worked in a more timely fashion. And my hope is that we don't end up with some sort of burning platform that causes problems either for our critical infrastructure or for our federal government.
Mm. And the number of bills that up there, I mean, and there's been all sorts of talk about them, about whether they give the president, ability to shut down the entire internet or something like that. Some of it sounds a little bit like hyperbole to me.
Sure, it is. And again, anytime you hear somebody use war attached with some sort of effort, the intention is to heighten, the idea about how urgent it is.
Hmm.
If you peel back the onion on each of those bills, a lot of them attempt to do the same thing, but their starting point is often different. You know, one will be focused on a homeland security, one will be focused on a Department of Defense, one will be focused on an intelligence, and you know they're all. And again, I think there's a lot of commonality, and I'm one for being a little bit practical. Take the large majority of those things that do have commonality. And put it in place and get started.
Have the changes evolved over about 2 years since you left? A year and a half, two years.
Right.
Have the challenges evolved? Are they different today than they were even a year and a half ago?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the role that malware and how we understand that malware plays in cyberspace has been like a 400% increase.
Mm.
And so, again, you have to accept some part of Moore's Law, which says that the landscape, in essence, changes every, pick a month, 7 months, 8 months, 6 months, 12 months. But there's some version that says that what you thought the baseline was is now moved. It's like, who's moved my technology cheese?
Right. And I mean, as more and more systems are almost web-based, I'm seeing a lot more things that are more attacks coming through the browser, through the web itself, which are almost, it's not through software, it's not through some nefarious email that you may open, it's just through the web application that you're using.
Well, that's a good observation. There are two reasons why you're seeing more and more web applications. The first is that it is a very cost-efficient way in order to add capability without going through a long development procurement series of cycles. And so that's, you know, that's one motivation. But another motivation is that more and more organizations are realizing that they have to reach outside of their networks in order to satisfy their missions. They have to have open source information access on demand. More and more of their workforce is highly mobile, and you've got to account for that. So it's this confluence of mobility and access, which has almost predictably driven a lot of the use onto the browser.
Mm. And as we talk about agility, guess what? The bad guys are increasingly agile as well.
That's right. Again, there are no pedestrians in cyberspace.
Yeah.
Everybody is a user, a consumer, a threat, and an attacker all at the same time. And even if you don't intend to be an attacker, you potentially are an attacker to somebody else because of a technical peer-to-peer relationship from your computer to other computers that you may not even know about or even have any control over.
This is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. How important is this kind of period where we take a step back and say, okay, hold on, we're focusing on each and every person's cybersecurity awareness?
Well, I think it's potentially very important because the only other way you get awareness risen is have something bad happen. And so this is one of those preventative things that sometimes can be easily passed over but can't have a high potential. And it needs to become Security Awareness Month for the entire population because our entire populace has got a role and piece of this. And I would hope that we would be more aggressive in designing Cybersecurity Awareness Months in the future, that it's got a government component, it's got a private sector component, and it's got a citizenry component.
And one of the parts of that I keep seeing over and over again in a couple surveys is people in some ways feel almost helpless. There's so much coming at them that they almost become, oh my goodness, I'm so scared to click on anything now because I don't know what's good and what's bad.
Yes, yes, and to some degree that's mitigated in at least in the public sector because I don't know of any of the major departments that don't have a computer security annual training requirement. Mm. And but see, the key for each of those departments are they keeping it up to date? You know, just doing what you did last year. You know, as we talked about earlier about the chain. You know, who's moving the technology chain cheese? You know, for instance, there's a thing that's just been out of, you know, just a very few months, you know, called scraping.
Yeah.
And that scraping is a technique of gathering information and identity things about people from around the world and then using it mostly for not very good reasons.
There's been some talk about a cyber shield, and I think it sounds like a little something out of a James Bond movie or something. What is a cyber shield, and is this something that becomes a reality, or is it more sci-fi kind of stuff?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, it catches your attention, so
yeah.
So you know if that was one of the purposes, I think that's good. I've
Check.
Not talked to anybody who understands exactly what a cyber shield is, other than a concept that says, you know, how do we distance ourselves from bad activity or bad guys? But here's the problem that we have in telling this story from what people can do with their five senses versus what happens in cyberspace. Your cyber footprint does not correspond with what your physical footprint is. See, so your databases, your storage of applications, your things in which you have in transit, maybe on the other side of the world. And so the idea that says we're going to put up a shield that has any kind of geography reference to it or any kind of geography paradigms to it doesn't play out in cyberspace. So as we figure, you know, now that we've got our attention that something important needs to be done, it needs to be something that takes care of the cyber footprint, not the physical footprint.
Hmm. All the discussion, you can't talk about cloud without talking about, what you have to measure it in on a stopwatch before you're talking about security. It's, right. You can't have one discussion without the other.
Right.
Is that reality, or is that one of the just knee-jerk things that people say, oh, I don't really want to do cloud, so security, that's the reason why I don't do it.
Right. Well, that might be some of the reasons for risk avoidance that you find in cloud right now, but I see cloud very much as a technology that's coming into the present. It's a technology of the future. And it's kind of like, well, what was wireless? We said the same thing about wireless several years ago, I see this as the inevitable technology progress. And the key will be two things. Can you give an organization trust in how the cloud works? And two, can they maintain control over their intellectual property, their mission accomplishment, the things that are important for them? And so the key will be in migrating into this new technology, the folks that can figure out that combination of trustworthiness and control and make it work in the cloud are the ones that are going to have a leg up on everybody else.
Very nice. Anything I didn't ask you about that I should have?
Ask me about, are we going to have enough talent and people to do this?
Oh, yeah. Very important question, because everyone's looking for the best and the brightest. And in fact, particularly in cybersecurity, in some ways, they're settling for somebody who can do the job. Talent, big problem for everybody.
You bet it is, and talent is scarce, and when we have a situation where we don't even graduate 30% of our Americans from high school, the element about where are we going to get the technology expertise and grow the talent that we need to remain a cyber-based society is one of real importance. And of course that leads into, you need to grow more at home. That prevents outsourcing, as you know, has all kinds of security, economic, and national security implications for our country, and so those are important issues that we need to tackle at the national level, and I think there are a large number of people that agree with me on that.
Yeah, also, I mean, it all becomes so entangled in education issues, and I mean, just I was seeing out in California, the UC system is the UCLA Business School is now no longer going to depend on public money; they're going to seeking private money, because they can't depend on the public money. And it's a weird place where we've become.
Well, it is. And again, those are inputs to the education system, of which I'm not necessarily an expert.
Right, me neither.
but I am concerned with the outputs of our education system.
Yeah.
And the number of STEM, scientists, technology, engineering, and math folks that we raise up from a very young age to make us capable of being the best in the world technology-wise in the future.